This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Thursday, April 18th, 2019, Maundy Thursday, by Father William Doc Holliday.
What I am doing, you do not know now, but afterward you will understand. In the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in my sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. We don't do foot washing around here often. And by I mean often, I mean generally when the bishop is here, because the bishop has all the fullness of the priesthood. He is the most direct representative of Jesus Christ. So when the bishop is here, it is done. I don't do it because I feel that there's a disconnect. There's a cultural disconnect. Whenever we see anything in Scripture, we should always associate it with the audience that was participating in whatever the activity was. We don't get it. Western culture doesn't get the foot washing thing. There's a disconnect. For us, I'll be a little transparent. For me, it's just weird. It's just weird. You wash people's feet. What's up with that? We don't get it because we're not first century Asians. Okay, it was a huge thing for them. It was something that was done in their homes every day. It's not that for us. So there's this disconnect, and I just don't normally like to deal with it. But guess what? Tonight, I'm going to deal with it. Because there's something very profound that's happening in the Maundy, in the foot washing. Our Lord Jesus Christ says, "What I do now thou knowest not, but thou shalt know afterwards." It may be disconnect. We may not get it. It may seem weird, but there are some profound things going on that even Asians in the first century didn't understand what Jesus was doing. This is not a matter of Jesus Christ just exemplifying humility, although that's a part of it. We'll talk about it briefly later on, but that's not it in a nutshell. There is something more deep. There is something that is much more important to consider when we think of the foot washing. Let's set the stage, though. Let's get a little understanding. Let's not lose sight of Scripture, okay? Scripture dictates, but when you do see the Maundy, the Maundy should be presented like it is in Scripture. Okay, what's going on here? Supper time, our Lord takes off his garment, takes a towel, washes their feet. That's their culture. They see the humble nature of what our Lord Jesus Christ is doing. Peter even resists. Hold the thought. Who is he? Whose feet is he washing? His disciples. His disciples. Not everybody. Not people from different faiths. He didn't go out in the street and just grab anybody to show how humble he was, because it would have been associated, hey, how humble that Jewish teacher is, you know, washing everybody's feet. We get that, you know, because that's a humble task. He could have chosen anybody. No, he didn't. He kept it focused on his disciples. They're his disciples. So if the foot washing is done, they have to be disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. That would negate anybody from another religion who would, theoretically deny our Lord Jesus Christ. His disciples, their feet were washed. There were 12 men whose feet were washed. Okay? The traditions of our church for over 2,000 years have been that at the Maundy, men's feet were washed. That was church law. But church law, like any law, it's not dogmatic. We're not talking about dogma here. We're talking about canon law. But even canon law said that men had their feet washed. That is, why? Because that's what was going on with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ had the Blessed Virgin Mary. If anybody deserved to have her feet washed by Jesus Christ, and she didn't deserve it because she's a creature, but nonetheless, his Holy Mother was there, Mary Magdalene. He could have just, he could have reciprocated because she wiped his feet with her tears and with her hair. He could have had her come up, any of the holy women, but no, he did not. Men had their feet washed. And they had their feet washed. Okay? That was the wash. I point out quite frequently that we live in a day when we've become more Christian than Christ and more holy than God. Why in the Maundy do we see feet being kissed? Our Lord Jesus Christ, there's not one word in here about him kissing anybody's feet. Why do we see the Maundy? Why do we see feet being kissed? Well, because that's the way we've always done it. That's what, not what it says. It's foot washing. Foot washing. When somebody came into your house, that's the motif. When somebody came into their house, in your house, and their feet were dirty, the servants generally washed their feet. They didn't kiss their feet. Jesus is doing something that was part of their culture, and kissing their feet wasn't part of it. But that's what you see. This would kind of harken back to what I was saying about men having their feet washed. There's a serious problem if women are put into this mix. How many celibate priests this very night, and bishops, how many celibate bishops and priests are kissing the feet of married women? That is a serious problem. It sounds all warm and fuzzy and so socially acceptable, but that's a serious moral issue. Bottom line, this is the foot washing. That's the stage to be set. What are the object lessons that our Lord is teaching by his foot washing? Our Lord Jesus Christ is first and foremost demonstrating that he and he alone cleanses us from defilement, both externally and interiorly. He is the one who does it. Spiritual and temporal, we must be clean in both ways. It's just not a matter of thinking things in your heart, but then doing other things. No, Jesus Christ, by this action, is demonstrating, no, you're defiled with sin, and it's just not in your heart. There are temporal consequences to this. I wash those away also. Jesus Christ is the one who cleanses us from defilement. This, I said, hold the thought about Peter's resistance to this whole thing. Peter, in what, how he responds would fit in right in our day. Oh, that sounds so good. Oh, Lord, please, no, not me. You can't wash my feet. Peter is denying that Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone is the one who defiles himself or washes our defilement from us. This is what our Lord Jesus Christ is demonstrating. And when Peter says, you're not going to wash my feet, no one else can. No one else can wash. And Peter presumptuously, I should be washing your feet like John the Baptist. I should be baptized, you should be baptizing me. Really, Peter? I'm Jesus Christ. I'm the sinless Son of God. You can wash me, sinful creature? You can wash me? Jesus Christ is the only one. The only one. This is what he demonstrates here. He didn't say, hey, because he did have three favorite apostles. They got to see all the cool stuff, raising children from the dead, Peter, James, and John. Hey, Peter, James, and John, help me wash the other guy's feet. Help me out with this. No. No. Jesus Christ and him alone, he's the only one who washes us from our sins, the defilement both interior and exterior. Let us also never misunderstand or disconnect what is going on this evening. This is the Mass of the Lord's Supper, also referred to as Maundy Thursday. Two different things. The institution of the Blessed Sacrament of the altar, the holy sacrifice of the Mass, and the foot washing. Two different things, but absolutely integral. We must be clean prior to the reception of the Eucharist. Jesus Christ doesn't do this at a house some other time and then goes and institutes the Eucharist. He's doing it at the same time to tell us something. You are defiled by your sin. I am the only one who can cleanse you, and it must be done before you receive the Blessed Sacrament. You must be clean, body, inwardly and outwardly, before you come. This is why he says, think if you have aught against your brother. That's an exterior thing. I'm good with Jesus, so I should be able to receive the sacrament. If you're not good with your brother, you must make it right. Then you can come in and bring your sacrifice. We must be clean inwardly and outwardly before we receive penance. And Jesus Christ, the only one to absolve us and to cleanse us. This is what we're taught by the Maundy. Our Lord Jesus Christ says, by doing this, I have given you an example. This is where it gets practical for us. Yes, indeed, Jesus Christ is demonstrating self-abasement. He's humiliating himself. This is the Lord Jesus Christ who has accepted the worship of God. It doesn't shun it. Demons fall at his feet and worship him. Okay? That's kind of a telling thing. The demons will do that, but most of us won't. Jesus Christ is God. He's let it be known in no uncertain terms that he's God. He has said it explicitly that he is God, and yet he washes his disciples' feet. Self-abasement of Jesus Christ, we should take that away from this example. Yeah, I'm nice to other people. You could show to others far more. You could show to others far more than you have done up to this point. As much as you've done for them, you could do more. We have to humble ourselves to do some things in this life that are different. Some of you, I don't have any right to speak to you. Some of you have taken care of elderly parents, grandparents, and you know what a humiliating task that may be. Yeah, I visit the hospital a lot, and I see things that are humiliating. But I get to leave. Some people live that every day for months and years. You humble yourself. It's easy to humble yourself for your family, but we're supposed to humble ourselves for anyone. Because when we humble ourselves, we exemplify what our Lord Jesus Christ did for us. St. Jose Maria gives an example that when he was, Opus Dei had just started in Spain and there was a horrible outbreak of tuberculosis. And some of the people involved in Opus Dei were going to the hospitals and taking care of the victims of tuberculosis. And one of their jobs was to empty the pans that these people spit in all the time. Repugnant. Oh my gosh. St. Jose Maria speaks of some of his followers actually getting sick, throwing up the first time they had to do this. It was because that was that disgusting. And then he said he would come back a couple days later and they were still doing it and they would be covered with that, but they would just be doing it for the love of Christ. We're supposed to even do this for other people. This is exemplifying what our Lord Jesus Christ did for us, because while you were yet sinners, he died for you. While you were repugnant to him, no better than what I just described, he died for you because of love for you. How do we think that we shouldn't have to do that for others also? Consider no service that you do for the love of Jesus Christ humiliating. Yeah. It might take a whole lot of gumption and a whole lot of pulling up the bootstraps to do it the first or second time. The Holy Spirit will work. And the more we act like Jesus, the closer we become Jesus in this world. That's what we're supposed to be. We are the body of Christ. We are his hands and feet in this world. We are the ones who are supposed to wash the feet, so to speak, of those around us, because he did that for us. And when you do it, you should do it cheerfully. God loves a cheerful giver. If you personally are not acceptable to Christ, St. Thomas Aquinas says, then your gifts are not acceptable to God. So when you do these humiliating things, you have to do them cheerfully. And when you're doing it, if it helps out a little bit, you should say to yourself, I do it for the love of my Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.